Well, praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere, wherever you are gathered this Sunday morning to hear the word of the Lord. I am excited to share it. I cannot wait to impart to you some spiritual truths that God has placed on my heart. And so I hope you are gathered around your kitchen table or perhaps your living room table, your den, wherever it is you are comfortable on your favorite device, whether it be your tablet or your iPhone, your cell phone or your computer, or you got me up on your TV screen. However you're watching this morning, God has a word for you. And so I'm excited to share it today. And if you are watching this on Facebook Live or on Instagram, you can also catch this word again later on in the week on our brand new YouTube channel at Pastor Michael Phillips on YouTube. You can go there and you can subscribe, and this word will be there for you to download whenever you like, or to go back and hear it whenever you like, so it can continue to be a blessing to you and you can glean all the spiritual truths that God wants to reveal to you through this word. I'm going to be coming from the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to find ourselves right now, and I think I want to pick this up somewhere in around verse 10. And we're going to read down to verse 14. And my focus, my central focus, is really going to be around verse 11. And the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you." And perform my good word toward you, and causing you to return to this place, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me. And when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you back again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I want to preach to you from the next few moments we have together from the subject titled, The Glory Conspiracy. I hope you're ready for this word. It's going to be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Father, there is no more important time than right now to hear from you. Let this word change our very nature. Let it cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. May it transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Anoint every ear so that it can discern it. Do all of this, Father, by your Spirit and by your power. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for what you have done, for what you're doing in this present moment, and certainly for what you are about to accomplish in our lives, in Jesus' name. If you are at home, go ahead and say amen. You might be asking yourself, Pastor, why did you title this message The Glory Conspiracy? Well, you have to have some understanding about the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet called of the Lord at a very troubling time in Israel. The time upon which he is called is when the word of the Lord is about to come to pass, that his glory is going to depart from Jerusalem. Ezekiel was able to see this in a vision, the glory departing from the temple. Prophets came along and began to talk about when this was going to take place. Jeremiah somewhat had to live within a paradox of his prophecy because what the word that God gave him was not something that was afar off, but something he had to live through. Because sometimes in life, through is the only way out. And so Jeremiah now has to trust God, believe God, declare the word of God to individuals who does not want to hear the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord, particularly for this time, is not seemingly positive. It is that there's going to be destruction, there's going to be disruption, there's going to be some chaos. And in the midst of all of that, God somehow is still going to be able to reassemble his people, to set them back in place and position, not like they were, but with a better understanding, with a better concept of who God is, and a better concept of who they are. In other words, God was using Jeremiah to declare his word to his people that was not really easy, because at that particular time, individuals wanted to hear easy answers to hard questions. You see, the long and short of it was that the people of the Lord had kind of turned away from God and forgotten about him. They stopped seeking the presence of God, stopped seeking his face, stopped seeking his wisdom, stopped seeking his ways. They were no longer interested in the manifest glory of God. This was a people who historically saw God show up. I mean, they saw God show up in his manifest presence, not just his omnipresence. You see, God is everywhere present. That's his omnipresence. But when his glory begins to manifest, it is visible. This is what's called the Shekinah glory. Historically, the Israelites were able to see the Shekinah glory of God outside of the tent because the glory would show outside of the tent of meetings or Moses' tent. It would emanate from the holies of holies where the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat and you could see the visible presence of God. This was a people who were led by day by a cloud of glory, that when the cloud of glory moved, that would be their cue to move with the cloud. It gave them direction. It sheltered and covered them from the heat of the sun when they were in the wilderness. At night, the glory became a visible pillar of fire that would protect them and shield them from anything that was trying to chase them down. When the Egyptians tried to run them down after God brought them out of Egypt and Pharaoh's heart got hardened and they tried to chase them down, it was a pillar of fire that protected the people as they crossed over the Red Sea all night long. So historically, the Israelites were able to see God's manifest presence. They were able to see God's glory showing up in their life. And here, Jeremiah comes into a historical situation where they have knowledge of who God is, but the reality, the predicament, the circumstance, and the situation that they're in at that particular moment is that Jerusalem has been seized. Jerusalem has been seized by Nebuchadnezzar, and Babylon has come and taken it away. And particularly, the part of Jerusalem that has been taken away is the southern tribe. The northern tribe had already capitulated, if you will, but the southern tribe, Judah of Israel, has been taken away. Judah, as we know, represents praise. And so the jubilation of Israel, the praise of Israel, the joy of Israel have been taken captive. Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah. And all of the southern tribe of Israel has been taken into captivity. The entire Israel nation is now pretty much wiped away. Jerusalem is seized upon by the Babylonians, and now they have to take on the culture, the identity, and the aspects of Babylon. We understand this when Daniel and his cousins, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had to endure the hardships of Nebuchadnezzar by refusing to bow down to worship his statue. They had to be indoctrinated with their way of worship, their lifestyle, and their culture. And so much so, they were in captivity for so long that many of them forgot about their heritage. They forgot where they came from. We know this to be true because Ezra, the scribe, when he was able to get scripture, the scroll of the Lord, back together again and put the word and reinterpret the word of God into the Hebrew language, the people wept when they heard of the word of the Lord. And Ezra had to tell them, don't cry, don't weep. This is a good thing. That's how far away they were taken from what they knew to be true. That's how far away they were taken from glory. Never to see God's presence to show up again, never to experience his goodness, never to know that he is God and beside him there is no other, because nothing was happening. They were totally and completely taken captive. There was no worship. There was no synagogue. There was no lifestyle that was indicative of what they knew. It was all disrupted. Today in our society, we are facing something very similar. We are facing disruption. And when disruption comes, it comes at the penalty, if you will, of losing your place, of losing what you know to be true. Oftentimes when disruption comes, we want to hold on to what we know, but disruption has the power and the ability to totally tear down your old structures so that perhaps you could have a new experience. Where am I going with this? I'm going to a place to cause you to understand that the disruption that is in front of you right now, much like the children of Israel, is not coming so that you can return back to what you had. It came so that you realize that you're not going back to normal. If I can, for just one moment, park there for a second to tell somebody prophetically who's watching me right now, you're not going back to normal, so stop praying to get back to normal. God told me to tell somebody that normal is synonymous with average, and he has never, ever designed you to be average, nor did he want you to have an average lifestyle. You have to understand that when normal tries to come back into our lives and when we try to settle back into everything that we know, we're missing an opportunity to see beyond normal. We're missing an opportunity to perhaps see the manifest presence of the Lord. We're missing an opportunity to let glory be exposed in the earth. Everything that God created has glory. Everything that God created on the face of this planet has glory on the inside of it. The moment when creation stands in its full bloom, that is glory. And a flower, if you will, has glory. A bird, when it flies, has glory. When a shark swims in the ocean, it is exuding glory. Glory exists in everything and in everyone that has been created, in every animal, in every star, in every cloud, in every blade of grass, there is glory. And glory can only be manifested when the created thing allows what's on the inside of it to be exposed. The glory of every boy is a man. The glory of every girl is a woman. There's glory down on the inside of you. The conspiracy around glory is to be convinced that you don't have any. You cannot have a conspiracy unless you have two or more individuals who conspire together to do something heinous. And the conspiracy around glory is how the enemy wants to convince you and I that God does not have the capability of reassembling our lives and bringing out something that is down on the inside of us that perhaps we were not willing to expose because we were so used to normal. Did you get all of that? But I came to tell somebody that you're not going back to normal. If you're sitting at home right now, and if anybody's around you, and even if you're by yourself at this moment, you ought to say to yourself out loud, I am not going back to normal. And whatever your normal was, perhaps your normal was bouts of depression. Perhaps your normal was moments of fear. Perhaps your normal was weeks of anxiety. Just because the pandemic hit, that didn't make you anxious. You were probably anxious before the pandemic. Come on here, somebody. But you have to realize and begin to understand that God is trying to break something in your life so that you can realize that you were created for more than what you have settled for. And God put something down on the inside of you that is so powerful that the enemy had to come up with a conspiracy to convince you that you don't have it. Did you hear what I just said? God put something so powerful down on the inside of you that the enemy had to conspire. He had to find some individuals that will convince you that you don't have anything to offer this world. God is the creator of glory. He is the creator of glory. He is the God of glory. He is the King of glory. The Bible says the whole earth is filled with his glory. And the problem with glory is that glory comes in waves. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Because the Bible says the earth will be covered with his glory like the waves in the sea. Glory comes in waves. In other words, there's a timing to God's glory. It comes in waves. And oftentimes, when we don't see anything, we begin to settle for what we have when we don't see anything. And this is why the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. When we don't see anything, we want to erect things that can become our very idols of which we worship because we don't see the God that we serve. This was the problem that God had with the Israelites. Remember when they were in the wilderness and they erected a golden calf. He was very upset about the idol and he told them, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because you're saying to God that if I have this idol in front of me, that I'm going to worship the creation rather than worshiping the creator. And so when we don't see anything, we begin to erect stuff, whether it is our pride, our ego, our careers, our wants, our preferences, all take precedent over the purpose of God in our lives because we don't see him moving, because glory is a waiting game, because it comes in waves. Are you still with me? And so as you begin to understand this concept of glory, as you begin to understand what God put down on the inside of you, I'm calling it glory. I'm calling it glory because it is going to be the very thing that points everybody towards the Lord. And so when we behold the glory of something, the manifestation of it, we're beholding the true essence of a thing. The true essence of a thing. And so as we behold the glory of a flower or the glory of a tree, if you see an orange tree in full blossom, it's beautiful. That's its glory. But you didn't realize that the glory was inside of the seed. And the conspiracy around glory is to get you to abort the seed form so that you never realize the potential of the seed and therefore never see the glory that was in the seed. This is why Jesus says, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Alone. Alone means to be isolated. Alone means to be in captivity. Alone does not mean separate or unique or whole. That's what single means. To be single means to be separate, to be whole, and to be unique. Every individual on the face of the planet has been designed with singleness in mind. But when God made man, he said, oh, it's not good, out of observation. It is not good for man to be alone. He never said it wasn't good for him to be single. He just said it's not good good for him to be alone. Alone means to be isolated, isolated by choice. And so if you can, if the enemy can get you to feel isolated, to feel alone, to feel like there's nobody out there, to feel like you're all by yourself, to feel like nobody understands you, nobody knows what you have been through, nobody sees what you have endured, that is a conspiracy. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There is no temptation such as common to man, whereby God has provided a way of escape. So whatever it is you're in right now, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever dilemma, there is a way out. And perhaps the way out is through it. And sometimes when the way out is through it, when God doesn't just bring you out, oh God, I feel like talking about this for a second. When God doesn't just bring you out and you have to go through it, the conspiracy theories start happening all in your mind and in your heart, and you start questioning God, and you start questioning purpose, and you start questioning your destiny, and you start questioning whether or not you deserve the life that you thought you wanted. Let me help you out with something right now. Whoever's watching me, whoever's listening to this right now, God does not give you what you deserve. He gives you what he desires for you to have. If God gave you what you deserved, if he gave me what I deserve, I would still be behind bars. I wish I had somebody to talk to me. If God gave us what we would deserve, my Lord have mercy. None of us could claim salvation. None of us could claim his goodness. None of us could claim righteousness, not near one. If God gave us what we deserved, God doesn't give you what you deserve. God gives you what he desires for you to have. And the Bible says he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so as you begin to self-isolate because of your aloneness, you begin to think, God, are you there? Do you hear me? Do you see me? And as the Israelites have to have that question, God raises up Jeremiah. He raises up Jeremiah, and Jeremiah has the same conversation that you and I just had a few moments ago. Jeremiah is telling the Lord, who, me? I come from a priestly family, not a prophetic family. All of Jeremiah's family were priests, not prophets. Oh, hallelujah. They were priests, not prophets. They served King Jehoiakim. And as a service to the king, that very king that is going to be seized by Nebuchadnezzar shortly, Jeremiah is being called into the prophetic. And he's saying, who, me? At this time of disruption? No, I'm too young. No, I'm not qualified. No, nobody likes me. I don't have that gift, that talent. That's not my forte. That's not my preference. I'm not built for that, God. And it's the creation telling the creator what it can and can't do. It's the clay telling the potter what it can't become. You, hold on, let me help you out. Clay, potter. Clay, potter. I don't get to tell the creator what to create. Oh, hallelujah. So Jeremiah comes along and says, no, Lord, you hold on. You got it twisted. You got it wrong. It can't be me. And so God settles it. In the first chapter, it says, before you were formed in the womb of your mother, I knew you. He settles it. And when he settles Jeremiah from trying to self-isolate and say, no, I created you. I called you. I know what's down on the inside of you, and you got it. And you had it before you were even formed in the womb of your mother. Can I tell you that your birth date is not your start date? Can I tell you that God had plans and ideas about your life before you ever came into the earth? He says, before you were formed in the womb of your mother, I knew you and called you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. I know you come from priest Jeremiah, but I called you to be a prophet. See, you're not going back to normal. God is calling you out of everything that you thought you knew into a whole new creative space. And to test it inside of Jeremiah, he says, now tell me what you see. My first point. What do you see? And Jeremiah begins to open his prophetic eye in this moment. And he says, I see an almond tree about to blossom. And God said, you have seen well. For what this means is that I'm going to haste after my word to perform it. Can I tell you that something is following you and it's not what you think it is? It's the word of the living God. I'm running after my word to perform it. God has given you a word about your life that he is chasing down. Do you hear what I'm saying? God has given you a word about your life that he is on the hunt for. His word cannot return unto him void. It must accomplish what it was sent to do. This is what Isaiah says. And profit in the thing. Prosper in the thing he sent it to. You're the thing he sent it to. Psalms 107:20 says he sent his word and healed them. God sent you a word long time ago before you were formed in the womb of your mother, and that word is chasing you down. Why? Because the word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of your heart. When the word finds you, stay with me, it cuts you before it heals you. When the word finds you, it separates soul from spirit and discerns the intentions of your heart. It opens you up to expose what you got. And then it has the power to heal you after it opens you up. I'm saying, what do you see? Because you got something. You got something down on the inside of you that's so powerful that the enemy has to throw every plan he can to stop you from realizing what you got. God is so confident in what you got that he can let you go through it. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, I feel the anointing right there. Just let me preach right there. God is so comfortable in what you got that he can allow you to go through it. Have you considered my servant Job? God is so confident in what he placed down on the inside of you that he can let you endure hardship like a good soldier. He can let you be shipwrecked knowing that the ship will be lost, but you'll be saved. He can allow you to go through the storm and be sleeping in the bottom of the boat because he knows that you're going to make it to the other side. God is so confident in what you got. He says, go on, let it happen. So that they can find out what they got on the inside of them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What do you see? Do you see God's word chasing you down? Or do you see every problem and every dilemma and every setback and every shortcoming and every failure? Is that all you see? If all you see is your failures, then you're going to be doing autopsies on your failures when you should be chopping up your failures as bait so that you can go fishing for the dream that God put down on the inside of your heart. So what? It didn't work. Try it again. It's going to make you better. If all you see is your shortcomings, if all you see is your dysfunction of the family that you were raised in, you have to ask yourself, God, why are you tugging on my heart the way you do, knowing I come from this crazy family, and yet and still you call me to something great? Why? Because there's something down on the inside of you. Perhaps God is going to use you as the one that will take your family to the next level. Perhaps God is going to use you as the one that's going to break the generational curse over your family. Perhaps God selected you. You wonder why you got the problems the way you do? Maybe you're that powerful. Oh, my God. Perhaps there's that much glory down on the inside of you. Paul said it this way: we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's something so powerful down on the inside of you that the enemy is afraid of. The problem is, so are you. Because if he can convince you that you ain't got it, then his conspiracy will work. And to conspire, he needs accomplices. To conspire, he needs somebody to believe him. I'm talking about the enemy. He needs somebody to believe him, to conspire. What do you see? When you see yourself, what do you see? Do you see glory? Do you see God? Do you see his word? What do you see? What do you see? And if you cannot see that God put glory in an earth suit, if you can't see that God put glory in an earth suit. Do you remember when Jesus was on a mountain and he took a couple of his disciples and they got up to the top of the mountain, his earth suit came off and his glory was exposed and he shined like the sun? When he exposed his glory, it was Peter and them that wanted to make a statue of the experience. Because when we don't see that we have that level of glory, we want to create things, watch me now, that makes a moment so that we can go back and relive the moment but never live the life. What do you see? Because what you see will determine what you seek. Second point. Whatever you see is what you're going to go after. If you see failure, if you see defeat, if you see difficulty, if you see disruption and chaos, and that's all you see, then you won't use the chaos as a canvas. If that's all you see, then you are aligning to the conspiracy of the enemy, and you're going to convince yourself that you're not like God. This is what the problem of the fall was. Convincing Adam and Eve that they would be like God when they were already like God. You were made in his image and after his likeness. And the conspiracy is to convince you that you're not, that you don't have something that you already have. When the enemy tempted Jesus after he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, what did he offer him? Everything he already had. He said, turn these stones into bread. Wait a second, I am the bread of life. He says, come up to this mountain and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Wait a second, Jack, I'm the King of Kings. You can only offer me what I already possess. I already have the kingship. I already have what I need. I already have everything that God put down on the inside of me. I don't need to go get it. I already have a future. I don't need to find it because my God is so awesome. He put my future on the inside of me and then told me to choose it. I wish I had somebody to talk to. When God said choose life, he's saying choose your future. You already got it. You don't need to get it. You don't need to find your purpose. It's in you. What do you see? Whatever you see, you're going to seek. Whatever you see, you're going to run after. What do you see. Because if you stop seeking God, you'll start seeking easy answers to hard questions. And when you start seeking easy answers to hard questions, false prophets can come and tell you anything. Enters in a guy by the name of Hananiah in the text. We didn't talk about it, but it's the previous chapter, Jeremiah 28. And this guy, Hananiah, begins to prophesy a premature release for the people of God. A premature release for the people of God, because all the people of God wanted to do was get out. Everybody's talking about it. I just wanted to be over. I need to get my, I haven't had a haircut in 4 weeks. Y'all need to pray for me. I'm thank God I got hair. I just want to go ahead and take a moment and say amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Okay, here we go. And so, and so we all want to get out. We want to get back to the barbershop. We want to get back to the salon. We want to get back to the mall. We want to get back to the grocery. We want to get back to going to the movies or doing what we normally do. We want to get back to how I used to have it. And perhaps this is a great opportunity not to get back. Perhaps this is an opportunity to reevaluate the structures in your life. Perhaps this is an opportunity to reevaluate the habits, the routines that might need to be broken. Just perhaps you're seeking the wrong stuff. What do you seek? And all they wanted to seek was a way out of the predicament. But God had already said, 70 years. You're going to be in it for 70 years. That's hard. That's not an easy pill to swallow. You're going to be in it for 70 years. No, I need to praise my way out. I need to pray. We have prayer meeting my way out. I need to sow my way. Ain't nothing working, God says, 70 years. Can't pray your way out of it. Can't sow your way out of it. Can't fast your way out of it. You're in it 70 years. 70 years. God said, you're going to be in it so much, I want you to seek the blessing of the city, because if the city is blessed, you're going to be blessed. You mean to tell me I have to be in this situation that I don't want to be in for 70 years? And God says, yeah, and I'll still give you a life in it. I'll still give you a life in it, because I came that you might have life. I don't need you to get out of it. I need you to live in it. And as you live in it, I still want to show you my glory while you're in it. And when it's all said and done, I want you to learn how to seek me again. Hananiah comes along and tells everybody it's about to be over. He comes and he puts a wooden yoke on Jeremiah symbolically. And as he put a wooden yoke on Jeremiah symbolically and tells the people that, yeah, God's going to break this thing like this wooden yoke and it's going to be over. And Jeremiah has to come along and says, the wooden yoke you put on me, God is going to make of steel, and he's going to place a steel yoke back on you, because the word of God is that absolute. The Bible says that God will not alter the words that have gone out of his lips, that his word is forever settled in heaven. That when God declares a word, it is going to take place, it is going to happen. And so the false prophet shows up, because for every real thing, for every authentic thing, there is a counterfeit. And somebody hear me prophetically, and the counterfeit always shows up before the real thing. And so whenever the enemy wants to get you to buy into his conspiracy, he will offer you the counterfeit of what God already promised. He cannot offer you it unless it's real. I wish I had somebody to help me out. The enemy cannot offer you life unless life is real. He was not able to offer Adam and Eve knowledge unless knowledge was already real. He says, the day you eat of this, God knows that you're going to be like him. Well, it was already real that they were like him. He can only offer you what already exists. He just does it in a counterfeit fashion. The enemy goes around as a royal line. Why? Because Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah. So he can only copy, come on, somebody stay with me, the real thing. And as he copies the real thing, he'll offer you the copy so that you don't live the authentic, real experience. And he'll do it to speed up time and say you can have it faster this way. See, seeking God requires that you don't take shortcuts. Because all a shortcut is going to do is make you an accomplice in your own dissatisfaction. It's going to, watch me now, limit your ability to go through what God wants you to go through because there's a lesson in the through. And if you miss it, you miss the glory. It's the right amount of pressure to crack you so that the glory God put in you can be exposed. I'll never put on you more than what you can handle. So the pressure you're under right now is a compliment from God. I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. Whatever problem is in front of you right now, God is saying, that's how much I think about you. But you don't see it that way. Oh, Lord have mercy. All you see is, why me? Why I got to deal with this? Why I got to go through this? Why I got to get this? And it just seems like some people just got it easier. The reason why they got it easier is because they're not a threat. I wish I had somebody in here. The reason why individuals don't look like they go through nothing is because they ain't doing nothing. But when you have a call on your life, when you have some glory on the inside of you that God wants to expose, that's going to bless somebody, heal somebody, touch somebody, set somebody free, oh, you're going to have some problems. And so whatever you see is whatever you seek. And whatever you seek, whatever you seek, it's right in the text. I don't have to come up with the 3 points. It's right there. Whatever you seek, you'll start searching for. And you'll keep looking for it until you find it. And the Bible says that you're going to call on me. Why? Because I know the plans I have toward you. God is saying, I know what I'm going to do. But are you convinced enough to believe that what I'm going to do is going to result in glory in your life? Do you believe that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose? Do you believe that the end result of this whole dilemma and this whole problem is that you're not going to go back to normal, but that you're going to bounce beyond anything you ever possibly thought that you can do? Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Or do you believe the conspiracy? Do you believe that God doesn't love you? That he is like a narcissistic psychopath that just wants to punish? God, no. God is so comfortable with this concept of glory that he shared it with you. King of kings. Lord of lords. You're the Lord and you're the King in that scenario. That he would place his son on the inside of you. That's how much he thinks of humanity. That he would give his only begotten son. What you don't see, or what you see, I'm sorry, you'll seek. And what you seek, you'll continually search for. And God told Jeremiah to tell the people that through this problem, if you would search for me, you'll find me. And when you find me, Lord have mercy, something's going to happen. I wish I had, I know we're not in church as usual, and it's okay. I'm not trying to even go back. But wherever you are, I can't see you. But just virtually, just go ahead and say something's about to happen. Just go ahead in your kitchen and in your living room, wherever you are. Just go ahead. I don't care if you got to high five the dog or look at the cat and say something is about to happen. I don't know what it is, but I've been searching for God to do a thing, and it's about to happen. Something is about to take place in my life. Something unusual, something extraordinary, something beyond normal, something that I thought I prayed for, thought I hoped for, but God did exceedingly and abundantly above what I thought and what I prayed. Something is about to happen. He says, if you search for me, you'll find me, but you got to do it with all your heart, and I'll be found of you. And when I am found of you, I'm going to turn away. Listen to me. I'm going to turn away your captivity. If I can preach there for just a few moments, I only got a few left with you. If I'm going to turn away your captivity, I'm not going to take away your captivity. I'm going to turn it away. Lord have mercy. Whatever has been facing you, I'm going to make it do an about face and walk away from you. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you don't have to walk out of it. It's going to walk away from you. I feel like preaching to somebody right now. There are some problems that have been plaguing you for years before COVID-19. And God says, when you start searching me again, when you start seeking for me again, I'm going to turn the captivity away from you. Job, when he prayed for his friends, when he starts seeking the Lord again, the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Everything that was facing him turned around and went the other way. Some stuff is about to go the other way. Debt is about to go the other way. Disease is about to go the other way. Death is about to go the other way. Depression is about to go the other way. Some stuff that has been plaguing you is about to walk away from your life. You're not even going to have to fight through it. It's just going to quit. I feel like preaching to somebody and walk away from your life because it learned it can't take you down. Because God put that much glory down on the inside of you that nothing that the enemy threw at you could work. See, glory has his own conspiracy. The glory conspiracy is that when you're under the pressure, it squeezes the glory out. And if the enemy knew God's plan, he would never try to put you under pressure. He would just leave you alone. But because he's ignorant and not omnipresent, come on, and not omnipotent, and he has to copy what God is trying to do, he then tries to crush what God purposed. And he doesn't know that God uses him as an instrument to release glory. I feel like preaching to somebody. And so all the pressure that you're under right now is nothing more than a tool to press out what God has put down on the inside of you. Glory is about to come in waves in your life, releasing the manifestation of what God placed down on the inside of you. God says, seek me. See my word chasing you down. Search for me. And when you search for me, you're going to find me. And when you find me, I am going to turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all. I don't care where your life has been dispersed. I got enough power to bring it all back together again. Oh, hallelujah. We've had millions of people lose their jobs, life in upheaval, but the God we serve has the power to reassemble some things in your life. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And I will bring you back to this place from whence I caused you to be carried away captive. But when you go back, you're going back to glory. Not glory like you used to experience it, but another level of it. So it might not ever be in the temple again, but it'll never leave this temple, because that's where God wanted the glory to come from anyway. I pray that you don't give in to all of the confusion and the chaos to think that God doesn't have a plan. God's plan is to prosper you. to bring you to an expected end. One translation says to give you a hope and a future. A hope and a future. So whatever you face right now is not your future. Whatever you're experiencing at this moment, it is not your future. Whatever circumstance that has come, don't let it convince you that it is your normal. It is temporary. Because to everything there is a season. And so there's a time frame around your difficulty. It cannot be eternal, but the promises of God are. Because nothing in this world is permanent except God and his promises. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end. And I pray that you believe that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in your life. Father, I thank you for every person watching this, every individual that's dealing with the difficulty of uncertainty, that's in the middle of a trying and hard time, that's trying to figure out how they're going to make it. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And when it comes, it's going to be greater than the glory of the latter house. Because they're not going back to normal. This disruption is going to work in their favor. And I thank you, Father, that somebody picks faith back up again and believe the word of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I pray you come to know him today. He died so that you could have life. And if he died for you, you ought to live for him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Confession with the mouth, with the heart. Salvation simply means to be made well, to be kept safe, to be whole. And you're saved for something, not from something. This is just not fire insurance. This is life, guaranteed. So I pray that you come to have that life through knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray you pray that prayer that the Lord will come into your life right now, change you anew. For any man that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are made new. He'll take your sin and he'll throw it into the sea of forgiveness. He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. And whenever the enemy comes back to conspire about your life, he will not be able to find a record of your wrongdoing, for it will be blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what the word of the Lord says. That's good news. If God loved us while we were still a sinner, that means you ain't got to be perfect. You ain't got to have it all together. He can love you right where you are. Bottle in your hand, weed in your mouth, he still loves you. And he still died for you. You ought to confess him as Savior today. I pray that you would do that. This message has been a blessing to you. Continue to help us to spread the word of the Lord. Not just preach it, but to show it. We don't just preach this gospel, we practice it. So we're clothing the naked. We're feeding the hungry. And if you would help us to be able to do that, we would greatly appreciate it. You can sow your seed by texting. Text Give KLC to 73256, or you can go to our website, www.thekingdomlife.com, click the giving icon, and you can sow there as well. Also, there's some instruction on our Facebook page as well as our website if you want to mail in your seed, however you want to do it, give it as unto the Lord, and I pray that you be blessed. Now, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. May he give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. And may his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you next week. God bless you.